Coffee Podcast. My name is Lewis.
And I'm Caleb.
And today is crazy.
It is actually pretty cool. We're on episode number 10. Round of applause. Whoa! Wow. Wow.
We did it.
That was our fans.
I mean, we made it 10 in. We didn't really think this would go that far, but we did it.
Yeah, somehow, some way, we're still allowed to release content. So we're just going to keep rolling until they...
No one's yelled at us yet.
Yeah. I don't think we've done anything wrong thus far, but I don't know. This is a crazy episode today, so...
Anyway, so today we've kind of done a lot in the coffee space, but I don't really think we've had a specific episode kind of on this. We kind of talked about what specialty coffee is in the first and second episodes, but Caleb wanted to talk. I think it is important to talk about this and just helping you guys understand more about the supply chain of specialty coffee and kind of what it is. And so that's what this episode is about, is what is specialty coffee?
We're
going to be talking about that.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about just like getting into coffee and buying from roasters, looking at labels, but we talk about specialty a lot, but we've never provided a definition, I think.
Yeah.
We've also never really narrowed down what side of the industry we focus on, I think. So we just want to do that, and we want to also help anyone out there wanting to dive deeper into specialty coffee and just like where to start. So we're gonna kind of hit like by definition what specialty coffee is. We're going to focus a lot on like the service aspect of it. And then we're also just going to talk about like what we love about specialty coffee, where we want to see it go. And then kind of if you're looking into starting into specialty coffee, where to start. It's huge. There's a lot out there.
It's really hard to find, especially with like a market so saturated within coffee. Like a lot of places offer coffee, but you know.
But is it specialty?
Yeah. And is it? Let's kind of put a pin in this and let's drink some coffee.
We will. Yeah, we're going to drink some specialty coffee. So today we have a coffee. It is in Ethiopia, and it's an extended fermentation washed, and it's from Dayglo Coffee out in, well.
There's three locations across the United States.
Based in Chicago.
Of America.
Yeah, they have one Chicago, two L.A., and one in New York.
Do they have any international locations?
Mm-mm. Okay. Not yet. Who knows?
Could be cooking.
Yeah, probably. So Dayglo is a super cool company. Got to actually visit with the owners while I was out in New York. Got to talk to them. Super great guys. So shout out Johnny and Josh and Tom.
There they are.
That's it.
Shout out.
So today we're drinking this Ethiopia light roast. Ethiopia Bunko. What did I write here? I had to throw away the box because it didn't fit in my suitcase. But Bunko Taratu?
Oh, I was curious. I was like, yeah. No way.
No, my handwriting's awful. But yeah, it's an extended fermentation washed. So basically what that means, it's a wash process where they just let it sit for a little longer with some yeast. Bacteria.
Ethiopia with the extendo clip. Wow. It's just solid.
Yeah.
And it's even cold. It's pretty great.
One day we'll get a hot drink on this episode.
One day.
One on this pod.
Yeah. Dude,
that's super like
pretty classic Ethiopia. Like orange creamsicle.
Ooh, yeah.
It is a little lemony still, but I would say it's more orange for me right now.
I agree. Little bit of blueberry sweetness in there. Black tea for sure. Almost like
and I do get like an Earl Grey-ish
almost like
finish.
Those peaches that are in the little juice cups. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the fruit cocktails.
Not exactly. The canned peaches. Canned peaches. That's what it tastes like. You know what I'm talking about?
Bro, you just said in the cup. In a cup.
I did, yeah.
And you switch up the can.
Anyway, no. It tastes like peach pie filling. That's what I'm going for.
My art is getting kind of better, but still, I want to do a Rosetta, man. I just do.
I think it looks good. I know you guys can't see it, but it's a little four-stack tulip Rosetta base. It looks nice.
Really sweet. Really freaking sweet. The latte.
Oh. What?
It's very powdered sugary.
Peach pie.
Peach pie.
Peach
Ooh.
Pie.
Yeah. That's solid, dude. I kind of suck at tasting milk drinks.
Well, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like since I said fruit cup, I'm off. But, like, the canned peaches, that, like, they don't look like peaches, but they are peaches. And they just don't taste, like, they taste like peach.
Bro, I have no clue where you're going.
You have no idea where I'm going with this. I don't either.
You're making up something. Shit doesn't exist.
Anyways, yeah. Canned peaches.
Tastes great.
It's wonderful. All right, so now we're going to quit goofing off here because you guys don't want to listen to this.
What is specialty coffee, man?
What is it? Let's see. Let's start with by. Let's start with by definition. What defines coffee, the crop itself, as being specialty? And I kind of want to explain a little bit. So there's two sides of the industry. The side that we focus on is specialty. That's what we're going to be talking about today. There's also cool the best
the good, side. The good guys.
And there's also the commercial and commodity industry. Yeah. So that's like, yeah, womp womp. So, yeah, so with the commercial commodity side, it's very much.
This guy stinks!
Yeah, no, so it's very much like Starbucks, it's Dunkin', it's how can we get coffee the fastest? It's quantity over quality every time, every day. Not to say that it can't be enjoyed, but I don't think a lot of money should be spent into it, and we'll kind of cover
that. It's grown for quantity.
Yeah, that side of the industry, they're buying coffee, very low grade coffee that's just
it's machine picked. You get some nice branches in there, some unripe cherries, maybe some nice little bug friends in there as well,
little buggos. It's a bug's life.
But you know, they want you to get your protein intake
yeah in. You open the bag and it's just Hakuna Matata. So then let's talk about specialty.
This episode's awful.
You're just kicking out the Lion King here. Sorry. But
get out of here.
Get out. With specialty, there's by definition what determines coffee being specialty grade is the scoring that Q graders do. It's scored 80 and above. So the quality of the coffee is scored 80 points to, I think the max is 100 points, but I don't know if I've ever seen a 100-point coffee.
I don't know if I've...
In my life.
I don't know if it exists.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never even heard anyone say that they've had one, so I think that's super hard to reach. It's almost like that one teacher, like English teacher, that's like, I never give hundreds on essays because there's never been a perfect essay. And just like, shut up.
Well, anyway,
just give me my point. But it's kind of like that. So there is a grading scale. There is a grading scale, and it's very, very hard to reach 100.
Yeah, and we kind of seen it. Touched on that in the second episode, talking about, you know, like most if not all ag, like kind of farm products, crops are graded. Because they have to be sold on a market, regardless of whether it's specialty or not. It has to be graded, because that's how you pay out your farmer.
Right. But the difference with specialty coffee, too, is that we talked about strip picking in lower-grade coffees. With specialty, it's majority of the time farmers, pretty much all the time, farmers actually going out being hands-on with the crop and only picking cherries that are ripe, that are ready to be picked. They're not...
Intentional coffee.
Yeah.
And we kind of touched on this with Pepe as well, just like talking about, like, if you go listen to that episode with Pepe.
Also, if you haven't listened to it, what are you doing?
Absolutely.
Go listen to that.
But like hearing him talk about the processes that he takes to provide his crop and what he does to make sure it is grown sustainably, grown with intentionality, like focusing on quality and making sure that plant is able to max out on all of its qualities, just so that it can have, you know, the most beautiful coffee it can produce. You know, focusing on your soil by biodiversity, focusing on having other plants around coffee itself, making sure it's grown in the shade. All of these things, like focusing on maxing out all the different kind of factors that go into growing coffee.
Basically, so anything really cool. Anything that he can make better, he talks that he just does it, like no questions asked. He makes it better,
which, you know, and you look at the industry as a whole, it's kind of hard to do for the entire industry. A lot of farms don't have a lot of farms are passed down family by family, so it's hard to kind of introduce new techniques to those families, or other families not necessarily having like the resource to implement certain growing techniques.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like definitely growing within the coffee industry itself, you know, trying to transition kind of farmers who've done commercial growing into specialty coffee, because it is more sustainable. Mm-hmm. The farmer can get more money with working with specialty, but there's kind of like a hard bridge to go over when, mm-hmm. you know, farmers trying to find someone to sell their coffee to, like getting an exporter or trying to find someone direct trade. It's kind of like a hard battle.
Well, it's also like it's so much easier just to take your coffee to a big auction with the commercial grade stuff and throw it in there and get what you can for it.
Yeah, whereas, or working with like a bigger company where you kind of get grouped together.
Those farmers are getting shafted, but at the end of the day, they're getting absolutely shafted with it. And so it's like, but at least they're
it's kind of like a guaranteed, like,
it's guaranteed money. It's only a little bit of money. And farmers know that with specialty, they can make more money. It's just harder to get into because finding people that are going to focus and invest in you.
Yeah, and it's also like you have to do A, B, and C step on your farm first, and it's like how much time or effort do I have actually to put into this, and I'm still not getting a paycheck. So
that's true, yeah. I mean, what Pepe talked about, I can't remember exactly how long you said it took for him.
I mean, even just like talking, and we're just going to keep building off Pepe just because it was so awesome. But like,
shout out.
Talking about like tasting your coffee, you know, a lot of farmers, like him buying a roaster so he could taste his coffee and understand that level of the coffee industry itself, I think is really important. And him talking about like not very few, if not maybe one or two, have even a roaster that
he's the first roaster.
Obviously you see
Ecuador.
Those little like fire roasted things, like a true roaster.
Not like a true drum roaster. He was the first producer in Ecuador to actually get a full blown size roaster.
I don't know. He might have said South America.
In South America in general? Oh, I mean, hey, I wouldn't surprise me, I think. He's such an awesome guy. Like, it's insane. Go back and listen to that episode. We'll kind of cut it off here with the talking about
going on
the farm
because it's just
from Pepe, so
just coffee grown
80 and above
with quality in mind and sustainability within the farm itself. So
something we talk about all the time is having intentionality behind everything,
and that
stands true throughout specialty every time. And if there's ever a point where there's no intention behind it, then it's probably not specialty, and that's just something to always be on the lookout for.
And why is that important?
Let's see, why is it important? So it's very important because, I mean, usually specialty coffee with the intentionality behind it is driven purely off passion, and it's just going to create a better product. And there's really no argument about it when you put put Folgers next to a really nice, well-grown Ethiopian coffee, like one that we're drinking today from Dayglo. Shout out Dayglo. There's a stark difference in quality and like, oh, I can actually taste things. And like over here on this side, I don't want to taste those things. Usually people are drinking Folgers Maxwell House at the hottest temp that they can because as it cools down,
they want that traditional
sucks.
Bold coffee flavor.
Yeah. Well, it's also as it cools down, it's not good. And that's why they're like, well, I got to drink it while it's hot. It's like, no. Take this cup here and cup B and let it cool down. And so you can experience everything that this coffee has to offer. And you just don't get that in the commodity side of things.
I think it's important just because I think understanding this industry as a whole, and again, like going back on episodes, we've kind of talked about this, but just if you have intentionality on every step, you can kind of understand the transparency of the industry itself. Like this farmer has grown coffee for 20 years, building up their terroir, building up their experience, building up like this plant and trying to grow it better and get a better crop out of it. And so if they've worked their ass off to get an 88-point coffee, I want to pay them for this 88-point coffee and more so they can keep growing it and pay their workers and keep their farm operating.
Right.
As well as, you know, I want to get this to a roaster that can roast this so that it can, you know, bring the bean to its full potential and tasting the coffee and bringing it to the consumer. And so that's why it's so important, because it's like you want to be able to express the farmer's intentionality. You want to be able to kind of push everything they had in mind with the coffee and bring that to the consumer so they can have that light of, you know, this is beautiful. This is what coffee is.
And that also then leads us into service. So talking about specialty coffee service, it's hard because a lot of the times people within specialty coffee, and sometimes this is just true and it sucks, and this is very much not the style of service that me and Lewis try to lead or support, but we're looked at as snobs sometimes.
And yeah, I was having a conversation with someone the other day. They were like, oh, I was out of town, and then I went to this coffee place. I thought of you, like, this coffee, it looked really cool, and they showed me the website, and I'm just like, yeah. And, you know, it's like, what do I say? Like, no, that's not especially, like, that's not good enough for me, because it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm a snob. And
it's gonna sound
they were like,
bad.
Oh, it's too bad for you, huh? It's like, it's not fancy enough. And I was like, no, it's not that. It's just, I try to support sustainable brands. And they were like, well, what does that mean? And I was like, well, a lot of brands don't show, like, their transparency, how much they're paying the farmer. If it says fair trade, well, that's kind of stupid because I want to pay more than that. And talking about direct trade with farmers, talking about supporting good exporters and different stuff like that, because, like, we're talking about direct trade here a lot, but there's also good exporting companies and importing companies. Yeah. We're not in no way, shape, or form are we talking trash on that side of the industry. But yeah. Direct trade is obviously better because there's no middleman. excuse me. But, and yeah, I was just kind of, I explained to them kind of like, it's not bougie for wanting to pay more money so more of your money goes to the person that's growing the coffee.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a, I guess, miscommunication within the coffee industry as there are some snobs out there, you know, they need to be ground on this and brewed on this.
Yeah, and they're like, they will say, oh, that's not good enough for me. That's not a geisha.
Well, and especially like in the aspect of specialty coffee, it's like, as long as, I think for me, I'm happy with any side of the industry with a cup. I'm never going to say no. Regardless, I drink gas station coffee all the time.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well,
so, but it's like right. supporting well, and me personally, who I buy from is looking for specialty and looking for pushing the industry forward and being sustainable.
It's also, I mean, and when we often get brought up questions brought to us of like, what do you think about this coffee? It's really hard telling somebody that has already paid the money for this bag of coffee. It's like, how do you tell somebody that you just wasted your money? Like, that sucks to say, but it's like, it's not out of, oh, that's not good enough for me. It's out of, it's from the constant pursuit of wanting to be better and wanting to buy better coffee. And then also wanting to share that and educate people on what better coffee is.
In no way, shape, or form are we like, you have to buy from this brand, and this brand. But it's like, it's explaining kind of the mindset, I feel like, of sustainability. And we know we keep talking about that, but I just want to push, like, sustainability is so important for any aspect of any industry.
Yeah.
Making sure that you can do it continuously without, especially when we're talking about, you know, agriculture. I think that is one of the most important parts of the industry just because there's so much involved within, you know, talking about soil degradation or talking about temperature change, climate change, talking about all of these various factors that affect every single thing we eat and drink.
Which also is real. Yeah. Climate change, it's real.
It like, exists.
It actually is a thing. So let's actually wake up.
Especially within agriculture, you know, making sure to support sustainability. And you do see that quality as well, you know. Looking at things that are sustainably grown and transparently and grown for quality, you can argue this point in any aspect of any industry. You know, talking with Wayne about the alcohol industry, talking about the agaves that you tried. You know, you can go into the wine industry, talking about grapes and different stuff like that. Yeah. You know, if you even want to go into carrots, man, start sustainably grown carrots.
Cool. Turnips.
And stuff, man.
Potatoes. Yeah, well, it's also like, and something also to bring up is the fact that with the alcohol industry, it's almost seen as like, people can almost justify it more when it comes to alcohol, like specifically either wine or bourbon. Those are two big ones that always come to mind for me. Like, I have friends and family that are into bourbon and put a lot of money into it and have bottles on bottles on bottles on bottles of bourbon. And I'm like, okay, why?
Yeah.
Why do you have this? Why, but yeah. You're still, but you're
you wouldn't buy Evan Williams, but it's like, okay, but why wouldn't you buy anything more than Folgers? It's like,
yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. You're there's like, disconnect you're there. Like, you're like, I only drink Buffalo Trace and up. And it's like, okay. So that ideology.
So you don't drink Fireball.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, so Fireball isn't the best whiskey ever. Oh, dang. I thought, so that's exactly how it feels like really the conversation. It's the same conversations throughout the beverage industry. And it yeah. almost seems like alcohol, people justify it a little more, because it's alcohol and has been around longer and people aren't looked at as snobs when it comes to wine and bourbon. They're
yeah, you'll
at,
drink a Voodoo Ranger, but here's a Natural Light.
Like, what? and it's like people aren't looked at as snobs. They're looked at as professionals, and that's yeah. that's kind of the world that we as coffee people live in. Is like we're not taken seriously, and so it's constantly, like I said, the pursuit of wanting to be better and also wanting to be taken seriously, because the thing that we're supporting is pretty cool. And if yeah. you took time to delve deep into it and put a little more money into it, it's like it's possible.
And I think it's very important, especially like on something that's really cool to me and something that kind of fascinated me at the beginning of the journey is just like learning about how coffee is involved in different cultures and how literal economies are based off of this and how yeah. important that is in supporting. You can talk about, you know, how lucky you are to be, you know, set in, you know, even just us talking about, you know, being born in America, but like being able to support this and build, you know, other, you know, places up and so being able to support all of these different aspects of the industry, I think is really, really important. And, you know, yeah. like, and having a, like, hopefully having a positive impact and building help, being able to like build up smaller communities or like, you know, just having that kind of hope that, you know, you're contributing to something greater and help like support farmers, on a personal level. And, you know, like some farmers don't even have, like, you think about being able to have a car or like some vehicle of operations around your facility or being able to pay your workers well so they can send their kids to school. Like all of these things are involved. And that's what your money's going into. So it's like wanting to push forward. I think like, that's just so important. And I know I feel like a broken record. Like I always
yeah, like,
keep repeating
just
myself,
the same thing.
But,
yeah. But I like,
think
we really
it's
can't
important.
Stress it enough.
And, you know, talking about what specialty coffee means to us, I think education is one of like the most important parts, especially coffee. Yep. And you know, like where for you guys to start, like recommending, like within specialty coffee itself, I just had this experience with my roommate Noah. He was like, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna order an IX coffee. And I was like, oh
yeah.
He's
oh,
like,
cool.
He's like, I want to get into specialty coffee, man. And I heard you guys talk about Onyx, and I was like, that's awesome. And so I went through with Noah. I was like, I was just gonna sit there, pulled up the website, looked through their coffees. Mm-hmm. He picked out a coffee, and I just scrolled down their page. I was like, yeah, man, so here's a little descriptor. And if you don't know Onyx's website, you can pull it up with me right now, and we'll
yeah.
run through it. So
onyxcoffeelab.com.
You can pick on a coffee, and you scroll down, and it tells you some lovely information about the coffee, like where it's grown, the process, and some tasting notes. There's also a paragraph to your left under the name of the coffee that kind of gives you a brief description on what kind of it will taste like, what they taste on the cupping table, and
yeah,
maybe
level.
Yeah. If you keep scrolling, it tells you a story about the farm itself and the farmer, which is really cool to see. And as well as it'll give you like a kind of a description on the processing if you don't understand naturals or yeah. the unique processing to that coffee. And if you keep scrolling down, they give you brewing guides. They'll give you a list of grind settings for that. And there's also a transparency report.
Yep, every coffee.
And so if you click on that, it'll tell you, you know, what they paid, what it scored, how much transportation was, labor costs, all of these really important, really cool, like
well,
awesome
little,
things that you don't see
that,
like a lot of companies doing.
Yeah.
And it just shows their intentionality and shows, you know, their own ethics as a brand
yeah.
and how important that is to them. But for you guys getting into coffee, you know, you don't have to go buy this book, this book, this book, or be like kind of overwhelmed with all of this information. You know, even for me and Caleb, like reading the physics of
filter coffee,
it's like, this is a lot of information.
Yeah. I got like two chapters in and I was like, oh, I'm overwhelmed. And I haven't picked it up in like 3 months. So like, that's where I'm at.
You can read this small little, you know, like maybe four paragraphs, and it kind of gives you a brief description on this. And even once you get the coffee in, if you buy it, you know, being able to taste the coffee and read its story, it kind of helps you understand it a little bit more. And, you know, that's the most like kind of education you really need. And it's not really overwhelming. You understand that part. And if you want to share that with someone, you can be like, yeah, man, like this is from this farmer. He grew it like this. This is what natural means. It's like now you have that information to share with someone else. And I think that's how this industry grows.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's what's really important to me is getting educated and understanding the process. And it doesn't have to be this overly complicated things of understanding all the variables, but just like reading four paragraphs, being able to connect with someone else and talk about this coffee that you bought.
Well, we also try to always share that, like, sharing coffee is always super cool. And then also when you read those few little paragraphs and you read the transparency report, and when we say transparency report, it's not like a whole like Excel
document. It's not the Excel document. Some brands do offer their transparency report for the year.
It's literally just a little graphic on the bottom that you can just scroll through, and it just says how much they paid, shipping, everything. And then also like little things like their labor cost, how much they had to pay a roaster, and why you're paying $24 for this 10-ounce bag of coffee, which seems crazy until you read about it. And then also you now have this information that you yourself can then allow yourself to be a resource for someone else. So now you're an educator, and all you did was read four paragraphs and order one coffee. And that's just how cool coffee is. Like, just, and you can really understand a lot of the industry within a few paragraphs. And thanks to Onyx for actually providing information like that. I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And Onyx isn't the only brand.
Yeah, they're not.
But yeah, it's just a great example for people. And their website is beautiful, and they do a wonderful job.
Yeah, their website's very user friendly. It's pretty. It's really pretty.
So yeah, I think so. For where you guys start in this journey, I think that's what's most important. I think.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't have to be this. I think a lot of people do struggle with like ordering online. I know in no way, shape, or form are we saying like don't support local. Like if you have these are conversations you can kind of have with a barista, you know, walking into a place, even just being like, hey, like, where do you guys source your coffee from? Do you roast your own coffee? And that conversation that you have after those questions is really important, because if the barista is like, oh, I don't know, it's like, maybe I shouldn't buy a bag.
And maybe it's just like, fine, maybe go in a couple times and ask the same questions for different people. Maybe this person is new, it's their first week, they don't know. And maybe you can find the right person, but usually someone should be able to lead you to the right person with the right answers that you're looking for. But and if they're kind of weird about it and kind of gatekeepy in a sense where it's like they don't want to give you that information, that's just, all right, peace out.
Yeah.
I'll buy drinks from you, but I'm gonna go order something else. Also, just ask like the barista behind the bar. I've been into many, many cafes where a barista will have like their own bag of coffee behind the bar that they brought in to brew for themselves. And actually had this experience in New York, but where I was in a small cafe, and I just asked, like, I was like, hey, what do you recommend right now? And they're like, oh, I recommend this, and then he was like, actually, like, I was about to brew myself this thing, do you also want to taste that with me? I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And it was a
what a cool, like, shout out that guy.
It was a, oh my gosh, what was it was a coffee from, oh, it was from Regalia.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, and I didn't take a picture of it. Don't remember exactly what it was. I want to say it was a Columbia.
Yeah. I want to say they always pretty much have a Columbia.
Yeah. I want to say it was a Columbia. And he was like, yeah, I'm kind of just now getting into like pour overs. And I was like, dude, this is really good. So you're doing a great job. And so, so just stuff like that. Always. And that's something that I also like to bring up in this episode. Ask questions. Everybody
it's not scary.
It's
like
not.
Just having a conversation with your barista.
Don't feel like you're
no. And if they make you feel like they don't have time for you, that's the cafe experience.
That's poor service.
Yeah. Poor service.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and that's what we talked about in episode 3. Yeah, the cafe, our take. Yeah. So,
and again, talking about, you know, specialty coffee and the service side of things, I think this is important things to focus on as a cafe itself. Focusing on your coffee, making sure your baristas are educated on all aspects of every coffee you serve, understanding the farmer that you're working with. As if you're roasting your own coffee, I feel like that is very important for all your baristas to know.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to bring that to light to customers, and not only for themselves. I feel like you have to understand the product that you're serving. And as a barista, I feel like you are on the front lines, man, and you have to. As a barista, I would want to be educated on everything I'm serving. I want to be passionate about serving. I want to know the product that I'm working towards. And you know, you're representing this product.
Yeah, you're representing a product. You're representing a brand. You're representing yourself as an educator, because that is one of the roles that baristas play in this industry. It's also like the same
you
thing
are
as
people's think. First experiences. You could be someone's first experience, especially coffee.
And that is important. That was something that me and Lewis used to talk about, like every day that we work together, like we would just be like, it's so cool being here. And like someone could walk in and this is their first time branching out, spending more than $4 for a latte. I'm going to make sure that it's like the best latte they've had. So they come back.
Even if it's, you know, whatever, you know, kind of product you're serving. But
yeah.
I feel like, you know, we kind of touched on this with Wayne. He was like, I was making a pour over for this guy, and I was like, try this.
You should sell K-Cups. And he said, no.
But how about now? Yeah,
but he also didn't just say no. He said, no, but try this Ethiopia that I'm brewing
this
right
now. This
is
why I don't do K-Cups.
And this is why we don't do K-Cups. Yeah. And then the guy left with a new perspective on it, I hope. Maybe he didn't.
And I think that's what's also important, again, bringing back this word, intentionality. Doing all of these different kind of brewing methods and stuff like that, you still want to make sure that the coffee tastes like what isn't intended to taste like. You know what I'm saying? So
you
like,
also want to respect where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And you want to put the best
like
roast
I don't think this farmer
it
wants it to be
farm.
In a K-Cup. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let's not do that.
Yeah, the farmer doesn't want you to
because if you let's put it in a K-Cup and then you maybe like poke too many holes in it in your Keurig machine and the water wasn't set right and it you're like, oh, this tastes like trash. It's like, well, it would taste completely different if I brewed it for you.
Yes.
Or this,
yeah.
That and the other variables that
it's
you have to
things.
Worry about within service. So
yeah, it's just little things and having intention behind everything, and intention in anything will
intention,
always get
intention,
you
intention,
will,
intention.
Will always give you a better result at the end of the day. So yeah, I don't know. Also, baristas and bartenders should be looked at on the same plane, because a lot of times people will walk into a bar and ask bartenders questions on questions on questions on questions, and bartenders are expected to be knowledgeable about why this, the history of this drink, why this gets served in this glass versus this glass, and the difference in all kinds of different types of alcohol. And it's like, when you don't know the answer, it's a little embarrassing. Like I worked as like a bar back for a little bit, and someone asked me like the difference between two different gins that we had, and I was like, I don't know. And
well,
especially for me, working at a
brewery. Wow, I could not remember that word. But it's similar to the grocery. You know, we're making our own beer. We're creating, you know, using this, that, and the other, and understanding the process of all of that. You know, for anybody who's coming in and asking, I think is important. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree. That has to be kind of looked at.
Similarly. Just say it.
Similarly.
You got it.
That doesn't sound right. That's not a real word.
Caleb,
where do we want to see the industry go?
I just want people to ask more questions. And I also, if you're a cafe owner listening to this or in a management position, I think providing yourself as a resource and really educating your team on what the product that you were providing specifically, why not take that extra step? Because you never know. At the end of the day, you never know who's going to walk through that door. And you should always want whoever walks through that door to come back. So, yeah, that's where I want to see it go. I want more education. I think we're past the point of I think transparency has gone up a lot, and I think our focus has been into transparency, but not giving the right education behind that transparency and what these things mean.
So you're saying like maybe like a disconnect between roasters and service?
Yeah, big disconnect.
Or green buyers and service? I think that can kind of be a broad category.
That is, yeah. I think there's a big disconnect between what's happening behind the scenes and what baristas are serving on the front lines. I mean, it's and there really shouldn't be a disconnect. You should be able to, like, there's obviously exceptions. Like, if it's the barista's first day, give them a freaking break. But, like, someone who's been working there for a couple years at this one cafe and they're well-known by the community, like, they should know, like, what's happening behind the scenes and be able to articulate that 100%. In a way that's digestible.
Be held accountable, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hold yourself accountable and always strive for better. Mm-hmm. How can this be better? And little things, because you never know who's going to walk in and catch that little thing.
Don't cut corners on the service side of things, because you're the end, man. Talking about the chain, it can't fall short on any of the aspects, you know, bringing back to what Pepe said, you know. So,
and then also in service, unfortunately, we live in a world where we do have to rely on tips. And if you want that tip, get your service up. Get your money up, not your funny up, all right?
Yeah. I think for me, kind of where I want to see this industry go is just more on education, and not only within the coffee industry, but going back to talking about understanding all the processes within, you know, agriculture. I think is very important. You know, the ag guy talking like this, but it is important, bro. Like talking about everything you put in your body.
Why wouldn't you want to know where it comes from?
Exactly.
Like, why?
And where's your money going? And especially in this day and age where people's like, oh, why is this $7? Why is this $7? You know, like,
yeah. Instead of saying, why is this $7? Just, yeah. Well, why is it? Let's
let
talk.
Me find out.
Let's have open conversations.
Exactly. And I think that is important. And again, to wanting to support things that you consume and that you quote unquote need. Whether that is alcohol, whether it's coffee, whether it's, you know, that organically grown carrot that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I think that's where I want to see it go, man. I want to see people asking more questions and caring and just truly caring. I want to see people care more. And I think that's what drives me within, you know, wanting to go not only into coffee, but the food industry as well, mm-hmm. you know, like bringing in new perspectives on things, and being able to kind of walk people into this world of beautiful, of intentionality of, you know, like I think that's beautiful. And, and people can tell when you care, and people can tell when you're passionate and they want to support you. And it, not that it's about their support, but it's about creating that perspective, creating that. Because if they have a good experience with you, that's going to open the door onto more doors. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I love doors,
I
love a
man.
Long hallway, man. I love doors, There's man. Something about a long hallway.
Something about in Scooby-Doo when they're running through all the doors. It really just tickled Lewis.
I love that.
No, and also
but yeah,
to,
bro, like that's just for me, man. That's,
yeah, I like that. That was awesome. Beautiful. Well said.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
And then also to kind of just wrap things up, don't knock on people because they're passionate. Don't call them a snob because they're passionate. Really learn the difference, and there's a fine line between being a jerk and being a snob, and even like connoisseur has become a bad word now. But and then there's a fine line between being a snob and being super passionate and want to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the difference, and then as an educator,
and
also,
most people who are passionate about something would love to talk about it.
Yeah, all the time.
Ask questions, man.
Also, as an educator, and like as from the education side of things, like really focus on how you say things, because that's going to determine whether people listen to you, and judge you on either being a snob or being someone who really cares. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we talked about specialty coffee, but as well as like kind of an aspect in anything, like
yeah.
Know what you're talking about.
Know what you're talking about.
Nah, man. I think, just more about education, I think, was kind of like the main kind of thing in this episode. It's just like, it's very important.
Yeah. And just a little recap. I think specialty coffee, 80 and above, 80 points and up. That's what determines it being specialty grade. And then also transparency behind that, and really look for where
support,
your money's going into.
Support that.
Support it every time. And you're going to be happy with it.
And if you're like, well, I want to support it, but it's $20. Why is it $20?
Yeah,
let's
look
at
into
that.
It.
Look into it.
And also, I want you to look
so,
around your
Caleb,
house.
So, Caleb, let's
you have
talk about
a bunch of bourbon bottles that are $50.
Yeah, let's talk about that, too.
Yeah. Let's talk about what?
What are your kind of, let's go into roasters here. It'll give people like a little nice little brand. But I think for me, Ilsa, I think is the name that you say it, but they have transparency in all their bags. They'll tell you how much they made for it. September does the same thing. Metric, transparency report, obviously Onyx, Heart Coffee Roasters, Olympia. These are all the ones I can just name off my head. Obviously, there's more.
Off the dome.
Thankfully, is really cool.
Process. Dayglow, shout out who we tried today.
But, there is, like, a lot of people doing this, so...
Just also, like, there's so much information out there. It's called the internet. Just look at it, man.
Those are just kind of the roasters that we've been ordering coffee from near recently.
Me.
There's a lot of brands that it's really cool to see. It definitely is getting pushed in this industry,
yeah,
which I think is very important.
I also think the most really, I think approachable
and also use
Black and White. I think Black and White's always a great starting point because you can order not only something super wild but something super familiar and
get 12 ounces of it too because I know like you'll have coffee, but also like Onyx, you know, let's keep bringing it up, but they have 4 ounces. You know, that was Noah's first coffee. He ordered 4 ounces of Ronda.
Yeah, just 4 ounces. And so that's an expensive coffee for cheap.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a $14 order from them for 4 ounces of coffee. Like, that's really cool that they only do, they like,
yeah,
their shipping is relatively cheap.
It can allow you to,
Or try different try things. You can try a lot of different 4 ounces things.
And that you're not having 10 ounces of 5 coffees. You're having 4 ounces of 7 coffees.
Yes.
And they're $10 to $13 a piece. And also they're shipping out of Arkansas.
Mm.
It's cheap. Mm. So
this isn't an Onyx hype up.
I mean, it's episode, always an Onyx hype up episode. You know, I'm down.
They're there.
They are there. And the resources are out there. They are.
So, yeah, we appreciate you guys. Hopefully we kind of sparked a little fire for you guys, but
a fire in your
ass.
No. I also hope we cleared some things up. Any confusions on specialty coffee? Again, anything that you're still having questions about? I think actually on every episode that you're listening to on Spotify, there's a little Q&A box. So throw in some questions. We can see those, touch on them in another episode. Also follow us on Instagram at Sidecar Pod.
Yeah, we're definitely DM. It's been crazy couple weeks for me and Caleb.
We're really busy college students. Give us a break.
And I know we've been talking about starting up other social media platforms and doing more with YouTube. The ideas are all there. We just need to get time to sit down and do it.
Filming takes a lot of time. Yeah. So and then editing is also another thing.
So yeah, we're cooking. Stay tuned. We appreciate you guys so much.
We're slow roasting.
Episode 10. We're gonna keep it going.
Yeah.
We got this. We appreciate you guys.
Yep. And then, as always, thank you so much for listening. And brew a good cup and enjoy life.
Get educated, man.
Enjoy coffee.
Ask some questions.
Just have fun with it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I wanted to add on like a little bit. Dude, I had like a really cool thought earlier. You know, in this day and age of speaking of social media, like follow roasters on Instagram.
Yep.
It's really cool. Like a lot of roasters will, you know, and you can find their roasters. They'll tag their roasters, and the roasters will be posting about the different coffees, who they're exporting from, all of these really cool things within the industry. You can find out through social media. They also do educational posts on Instagram, brewing guides, all of these cool things, giveaways, finding out what coffee drops. You can see their cool origin trips sometimes as well. So, like,
yeah,
just branching out, you know, you don't just have to look at reels all day. And if you are looking at reels, you can look at coffee reels.
That doom scrolling, you know?
Yeah, doom scrolling. But, you know, you can use social media as an outlet as well. So
sweet.
Thank you. I had that in earlier and forgot to say it. But, yeah, with that, have a great week. And we'll catch you guys
Enjoy next Monday. Coffee. Have fun. We'll see you next Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
That was good. That was solid.
Solid.
Can you please stop?